It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Prescott and his representatives are looking for Prescott's new long-term contract. Listen to this. To come in right behind Patrick Mahomes. Y'all know what Patrick Mahomes was paid, right? She said that Prescott and his representatives are looking for a respectable offer.
You know, we could talk about Dak overplaying his hand all we want to. I don't give a damn. It's such a thing as bringing it on yourself. And that's what Jerry Jones has done. Because you know something, it's interesting when you look at the long laundry list of contracts Jerry Jones has signed people to. Ezekiel Elliott, you paid him market value. The offensive lineman, the Zach Martins of the world and others, you paid them market value. Amari Cooper, you paid him market value. Jalen Smith, you paid him market value. And so if you're Dak Prescott, you're saying, wait a minute, you've been playing hardball with me since the moment I arrived. I show up from Mississippi State. I'm flat out balling as a preseason quarterback. I'm here. I'm young. I'm vibrant. I'm ready to perform. I'm showing that I can do the job for you. And then I go into the regular season and I perform. You still didn't want to give me props. You were still ready to hand that job back to Tony Romo. Your quarterback stood front and center and represented you in an incredibly reputable and impressive fashion. Did you still take care of him? No. So you're Dak Prescott. You're looking internally. You're looking externally. You're seeing everybody maximize their market value, and then Jerry Jones wants to come to you and say, not when it comes to you, not when it comes to quarterback, linebackers, offensive linemen, running backs, wide receivers. We'll take care of everybody else. We'll watch other teams take care of their quarterback, but we won't do it for you. Why? Nobody has asked Jerry Jones this one question. Why Dak Prescott?
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
How about them Cowboys indeed?
All right, Cowboys fans, we're about a week away from the official start of free agency. Hashtag DakWatch is in full effect. We're going to give you a little free agency primer here, bring some names to the table that might make good fits for the Cowboys and might be on our wish list, maybe. Maybe Jerry's going to get crazy this offseason. Who knows? But first, we got some things to catch up on. It's been a few weeks. And we've got a special guest for this episode. But first, I want to remind you, you need to be subscribed to The Athletic, because that Dane Brugler draft guide is just weeks away, believe it or not. And it's included with your subscription to The Athletic. It's theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys to get the best deal on a subscription that you can. People always ask for promo codes. They ask me, Kent, can you hook me up with a subscription? Of course I can. Theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. That's the best deal you're going to find. And you're going to want to get it now because the draft coverage is ramping up. The offseason free agency coverage is ramping up across all our podcasts. And you're going to want to subscribe because it's going to all come down on The Athletic this season. By the way, Dallas fans, local Dallas fans, make sure you're subscribed to our Mavs podcast with Tim Cato. 77 minutes. Mike Pelucci, Tim Cato, Dave DeFore. A lot of Mavs talk, a lot of Luka talk going down over there. So if that interests you, check that out as well on the Athletic Podcast Network. But now, it's time to talk some Dallas Cowboys. To welcome in for the first time to the show from the Pro Football Network, you can follow him on Twitter at Dalton B. Miller. It's Dalton Miller. Dalton, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing tonight?
Doing wonderful. Excited to talk Cowboys and excited to get back into this this craziness of Cowboys talk. And of course, back as always, the Bash Brothers of the Dallas Cowboys, Father Jonathan Mishota and Kevin KT Funtimes Turner. Guys, welcome back, and Dak Watch continues. But KT, I think in the past few weeks, there's been some crazy stuff going down in the division. Maybe we could touch on that and touch on Dak before we get to our free agents here.
No, absolutely. Good to be back after a brief hiatus in which nothing happened.
Yeah.
I kind of thought like, hey, we're going to take a couple weeks off. And then once you say that, you know, that's when you sign Dak. But it feels like they've put that off long enough. So let's go up to the deadline or whatever we're going to do here. So, before we talk on that, the Carson Wentz trade, I think that's probably the big thing that happened since the last time we've been here. The Giants haven't done much, but the Carson Wentz thing, and then Alex Smith, oddly, with a bunch of comments, just kind of about how he kind of felt like he was done wrong in Washington, even though they let him play. That was all very strange, and it looks like Washington's might go with Heinicke, maybe. Like, there's a weird quarterback thing going on in the NFC East right now, where technically it feels like we know Dak will be the quarterback. We know it's going to be Daniel Jones in New York. Might be Taylor Heinicke in Washington. And then, of course, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Oh. John, is that about how you saw that playing out, though, with Carson Wentz getting traded? And what'd you think of the return that they got for him?
Yeah, no, that's not a big surprise. I would say, for me, I don't know that Jalen Hurts is necessarily going to be that for sure guy, though, either. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they drafted somebody relatively high or they signed somebody in free agency that has got some proven starts under their belt. I'm not completely sold that Jalen Hurts is the guy, sorry. But the Wentz thing doesn't surprise me just because it just didn't appear that it was going to work out there, you know? And I think the biggest thing, and I don't know if this is a surprise, but the biggest thing for me is just, and I think we talked about it the very last time that we did a show, is that, like, these especially these quarterbacks, they're getting what they want. Like, they're getting out of the situations they want to be out of. And that's why I look at, like, the Deshaun Watson situation. I look at even Dak's situation. Like, you know, they're not really caving into what the teams want. Like, they've got more power now than ever before. And you can just see these guys are flexing it now. And so that's really interesting to me from multiple angles. But whether Carson Wentz was back or not, or whether it's Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts or just Jalen Hurts, I don't think in either of those, any of those scenarios, you look at the Eagles like, well, they got quarterback figured out. Like, I think there's a lot of question marks still there at that position with them. And real quick on the Alex Smith thing, and I don't know what the market's going to be like that out there for him, but if by some chance there isn't a lot of teams that are interested and it gets to the point where he's just kind of looking for backup jobs, I think he'd be a great backup for Dak, if Andy Dalton goes somewhere else. Just they've known each other for a long time because they have a lot of similar college coaches. You know, Dan Mullen was a guy who that's Dak's college head coach who was quarterback coach at Utah for Alex Smith. Alex Smith is a guy that, you know, Dak's looked up to, had a major injury. Why wouldn't you want that guy to be around him? And then the biggest thing, as KT, we've talked about on here, you know, Alex Smith is a key piece in why things didn't get off to a hot start between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers remembered that Mike McCarthy, that one year he was the OC in San Francisco, when they drafted Alex Smith, they could have drafted Aaron Rodgers there. So obviously Mike McCarthy's seen enough out of Alex Smith. I know we're going back to 2005, but obviously he's seen enough there that he would like him as well. And the other part of this is if Andy Dalton is gone, if he doesn't find any, or if he finds a better job somewhere else, better offer, I think they're going to bring in a veteran. Like, I don't think they're going to go Jason Garrett, where it was like Cooper Rush and you know, guys like that. I think they're going to do the same thing they did this past year when they had Andy Dalton. I think they're going to have a proven veteran backup quarterback. And so I don't know what Alex Smith's market's going to be. I look at it as I'd be really cautious with a lot of these guys because these teams don't have a lot of money to be spending. It's not just the Cowboys. Just all these teams aren't going to have a lot. I think you're going to see a lot of guys signing one-year deals to try and get to next year's free agency. So if that's the case and Alex Smith is available, I think you could do a lot worse than him.
Yeah, and you know, something that I saw that was I thought was interesting was John Clayton reported that Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't receiving a lot of interest and might retire. I mean, what are the Philadelphia Eagles doing at this point? Because, John, you said that you don't believe that Jalen Hurts is really the guy there. Why wouldn't you bring in a veteran like that who, you know, in a bad division or a division that we think might be bad again, bring in a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick who can be the backup and can come in and spot start a little bit? I don't understand why there aren't more teams interested in a guy like that.
Yeah, there's so many of those guys, and Dalton and Alex Smith, and I would put Ryan Fitzpatrick in that same boat right now. Just, again, older guys who, if they need to give you four games, that's great. You don't want these guys being your quarterbacks for 16 games. But, like, if they're around, you know, they can help you and should be cheap. I mean, it is interesting. One thing I keep going back to, so, like, even going into last year, we did not go into last year going Carson Wentz is broken. We went into last year going, is Carson Wentz and Dak, yeah, they might be, you know, they might be about the same thing, or maybe who's better, you know, having all those debates. And then you realize that Carson Wentz is broken. And I look at the division and I can't help but go, okay, it's a fun exercise when the schedule goes out to look at every team and just based on, is your quarterback better than their quarterback? And just assume that you get the win if your quarterback is better, right? Well, I'm going 6-0 in the division if Dak Prescott's my quarterback. So, I mean, yeah. Look, I'm not beating, like, I don't want to beat the dead horse if they need to sign Dak. We've done that enough on this podcast. You can go through the archives if you want to hear those rants, because they've been happening for 2 years. Like, it's all there. I don't want to, you know, go too deep into that, but, like, I almost look at it as, like, if you're looking for positive news after a disappointing season, well, there's a good one right there, is that you own the clear best quarterback in the division, and there's no debate there. And I'm not sure how many divisions in the NFL you can say that about, aside from, of course, in the AFC West, we know it's Mahomes, and we know it's Rodgers, right? What else? Like, that's about it. So
let me cut you off real quick, though. Let me cut you off real quick.
I talked myself into a hole there, John. Uh-oh.
No. Hold on real quick, though. I agree with you 100%. As of today, it absolutely sits that way. But it changes pretty quickly if Washington was able to get Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. Washington's the only team. Like, I think Dallas comes out of all those moves like, God, that's great that Philadelphia probably is another 2 years away from even competing in this division. But if you're Dallas, you're looking at Washington for sure as your main going into next year. That's the team that in the division you've got an eye on.
And the organization as a whole.
Even if they have Heinicke, I think their defense is going to be even better, and they're going to draft well, and Rivera's going to be have a full offseason and all that, aside from a quarterback.
And their organization as a whole over the last, I would say, 365 days just seems as it's headed in a much better direction than it has at any point in probably the last, I don't know, 20 years. So that has to scare you a little bit, too. I mean, I think it's around 20. When did Snyder buy? Was it 99 or 2000? It was somewhere around there.
It's about the same time as Mark Cuban. I've always put those two in my head. So, yeah, right around there, right?
So, I mean, you're talking almost 20 years there. I think this is about as well run as they've been in that time. So that's got to scare you a little bit, you know, if you're a Cowboys fan or anybody else in the NFC East, because I really do think that they are really the team that, and I don't think Dak would go to Washington next year if he gets a free agency, but they are the team. That's the scenario right there for like a Dak Prescott. Like, you could go to a team that has the money to sign you, and you're clearly like just the missing piece. Like, that's you're the guy that could like take them to the next level. That's what they're missing. I know it's difficult to find that franchise quarterback, but if Washington does, Washington could be very scary.
Yeah, another thing I'm really looking at too, like when you look at the draft and the Cowboys pick 10th, you know, the Eagles are sitting there at 6, and if they don't do anything in free agency, I can't help but go, they have to take a quarterback. But like, what if the quarterbacks go? Like, what if all four of these guys go in the top 5 picks and the Eagles are there at 6? And like, it's very interesting. Like, Washington can't, because they won the division and got to 19, it's the whole thing that all the team tank people were all worried about is like picking 19th, you know? But like, it is kind of true to the fact that if Washington did want to attack quarterback in the draft, it'd be really hard to do that at 19. And they'd have to do a lot of maneuvering to get on up there. So I do think that's like a real fascinating thing.
And don't you think it's tough at 10 if the Cowboys, let's say that we go into the draft, Dak's under the franchise tag, there's no great movement between the two sides, so I mean that's clearly over a month away from now, and they're like, we're taking a look at one of these quarterbacks and we have to move up. Even at 10 you feel like you're kind of far away from getting one of those guys, much less 19.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I keep seeing, you know, the experts of the experts, you know, kind of fall Trey Lance down a little bit, kind of fall Justin Fields down a little bit at this point, and they're elevating Mac Jones up a little bit as well. So, I mean, there might be 5 quarterbacks that the NFL is high on at the end of the day, and you might have somehow Justin Fields or Trey Lance there at 10, which, I mean, if I'm in the NFL, if I'm one of those QB needy teams up at the top, I'm not allowing that to happen. But we've seen that the NFL, you know, when it comes to, for me, 2 positions, it's safety and quarterback, that we just don't know what these guys are looking for.
Yeah, no, that's where it's like, even the Eagles, you wouldn't even know, I could see the Eagles, if a quarterback was available, going, nope, we've committed to Jalen Hurts. And they have to take a quarterback, and I can see them going, nope, Jalen Hurts, our guy, let's take Ja'Marr Chase or something. I was like, well, I don't know. And that's the thing to do. But that's why it's all fun.
The Jalen Hurts thing is so fascinating. I encourage everyone to listen to Birds with Friends, our Eagles podcast here that's been breaking that down. Fascinating. But I mean, the whole taking the second round pick on Jalen Hurts and then deciding he's not the guy after a few games. Like, what is that? What the heck are they going to do? I'm with you, John. I don't think they go with Hurts this year. I think they know that Hurts isn't the guy. I think they're going in a
completely different direction. I'm not saying that they won't go with him. I'm just saying me personally, and I think a lot of other people that have watched them don't think that, oh, they got their guy. Now they just need to build around this guy. I think there's just a lot of questions that still need to be answered there. I mean, he has some upside where you're like, well, you know, he does some things that really impress you. But then there's other times where you're just like, yeah, I don't know if this is the guy that I'm giving this like huge contract to in another couple years.
I don't think they expected Wentz to completely just fall off the map either. They thought Hurts was a nice piece. You could use him situationally. If Wentz had to go down, he's a guy that could play. I don't think they expected him to be there. Like, oh, he's, you're going to be your starter. Now you have to build an offense around this guy. Now, I don't think that was ever in the cards, especially in year one with Doug Peterson.
I'm not saying this is what happened, but Carson Wentz was so bad this year that if like 30 years from now, if they're still doing 30 for 30s on ESPN, they came out and he's like, yeah, I kind of threw that season because I wanted to just get out of there so bad. If they took Jalen Hurts, I'd be like, oh, this makes sense now. There's total resentment there.
Yeah, there's
just certain games like another one, not to go too far down the wrong direction, but like I always say that about that Super Bowl with Carolina and Denver. I was like, if it comes out 30 years from now that Cam threw that game, I'd be like, now this makes sense. Because if, I don't know if you remember that game, but like Cam was great all year. And in that one game, it was like, even when there wasn't a pass rush, you're just like, something's just not right here. Yeah. He just looks like he's off. I don't know if it's the pressure of the week or whatever came. And it's the one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. And it's the same thing with Carson Wentz. Like, I mean, he obviously wasn't going in a great direction, but some of the stuff, and really you can just take the Cowboys games. I mean, like that Donovan Wilson, where it's like, Carson, he's running after you and nobody's there to block and he's not even looking. And Donovan Wilson's just like, well, I'm going to tackle you and I'm going to take the ball away from you. I'm just like,
yep.
What is he doing right here? Like, the regression was amazing.
He had, I think, 15 fumbles this past season. It was 13 lost and 15 total.
And he didn't have to do much for them to just win the division.
To me, you're right, John. There might be something there. Like, you can't just, I don't know, 15 fumbles seems like pretty tough when your job is to protect football.
We'll know pretty quickly if he starts having success in Indy right away and gets back to the guy we saw early in his career before he got hurt. Obviously Frank Reich will be a big part of that, but if all of a sudden he looks like the old Wentz, it's going to be like, well, maybe Philly's just not a great spot to be if you're a franchise quarterback.
It'll just be Frank Reich is a god. That's what it'll be. And Philly's a dumpster fire. That'll be a side note. Hey, quarterback side note here, KT. What do we think about this Russell Wilson trade scenario / him putting the Cowboys on his list there? What did you pique the interest at all?
Yeah, number one, I think Russell Wilson's the corniest guy in football.
JJ Watt too, a bit. Maybe.
Yeah, JJ's pretty.
Ooh, yeah, they're fighting for that one.
They really are. But also, you got to do it. It's kind of the old Jalen Smith thing. Also, what they do off the field, though.
That JJ Watt tweet. It was like source.
All right, everybody, you guys are calling out right now. Are all the guys that are of every team's Walter Payton Man of the Year guy. Yeah, just think about it. Like
JJ Watt
like,
is so corny. That I'll never get over the video of on Hard Knocks of him flipping the tire at like 2 a.m. Like
I agree with you guys completely on that. I will say though, for everything he did for Houston, especially during Harvey,
that was great.
Like you can almost like overlook some of it to a certain extent, because you're if he didn't have that personality, he never gets to that level. Like they never raise that type of money. And I feel that way with Russell Wilson too. So it's like, it's just a fine line. You know, I agree with you guys on it because I think anybody that follows the league, you get like it's too much. It's like over the top. But when there are like bad things that happen, like you want those guys to be the face of it. You know what I'm saying? Like they seem to be able to get like rile people up.
Here's where I fall on both of them. From the football side of things, Russell Wilson, awesome. From the football side of things, JJ Watt, total beating. Quintessential you know, I'm the man's man, I'm here to lead type of guy. Maybe that's what Arizona needs. Like the right. whole, like the first thing he released was a picture of him lifting weights. And the other thing, like, I'm so sorry, Houston, I let you down. I will work harder. This will only motivate me more. Like that stuff is a complete beating. But I think JJ Watt in like real life is probably pretty cool. Like pretty fun, awesome guy. But I think Russell Wilson on the field does all the right things. But I think in his personal life, Russell Wilson's a beating. Probably, like, well, you know, I don't think you'd want to hang out with Russell Wilson. I think you'd be like, this guy's lame. You know, that's kind of where
like, you can't accuse JJ Watt of being a ring chaser either. So I mean, there's something there.
That's true.
But I say, like, you know, it's interesting with like the Russell Wilson thing to like not demand a trade, but we gotta go ahead and get it out there that here are the teams that I would go to. I just think that tells you how bad it is right now in Seattle. Like, what's pretty. It's pretty awesome. It kind of underreported. Maybe the guy was going to retire anyways. But after he took all the shots at the offensive line publicly, one of his offensive linemen retired. It's like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I don't. The guy might have been like 35. Was it Upati or whatever his name is? But I think like what's interesting is like it obviously because there's a quarterback conundrum here. There shouldn't be, but there is because the Jones family is flat out stubborn. Like, it just creates this unrealistic notion that Russell Wilson could be a Cowboy. It just can't happen. Like, it just to follow how salary caps work. It's you can't, that doesn't work out. The money doesn't work out. So, like, it would be such a problem for both teams. It just can't happen. So,
if,
by the way, and Dalton was the one who hit me to this. We were watching a Seahawks playoff game. And Dalton was talking about how some of the people that he knows who follow the Seahawks or covering the Seahawks and telling how like they were made a comment about how Russell's not seeing the middle of the field very well. And that's something that Dalton was the one that hit me to that. And I was like, and if you look at how they started playing, Pete Carroll was pissed off that Russell Wilson's throwing three, he had one 4 interception game, I know. It was kind of turning the ball over a lot. And Dalton was the one that hit to me like, hey, man, Russell's not seeing the middle of the field. And I was like, wow. Has Russell lost it? No, probably not lost it, but like there's a bit of an issue with that style of offense because they seem to shift. After they let him cook for about 2 months, they get to November and went back to Seahawks football, which is try to win close games.
I don't know if I'm selling Russell Wilson. I mean, who is the best receiver he's had? Doug Baldwin?
DK
Tyler Metcalf. Lockett.
In his career. Baldwin, oh, DK Metcalf.
Baldwin, Lockett, and DK, I mean, that's. I mean, they obviously didn't that's all play true. Together.
This past year was pretty good. I don't know. You put him in with Amari, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup, I think you see
I'll
the production
that.
There. I'll take that, right? I don't know. You know, this is
no,
totally.
No, hold on.
Wait, John.
No,
hold on.
Go back to KT.
I know you're holding on.
Go back to KT. Okay. What did you just say?
I'll take that. Give me
the age.
He said I'll take Dak is what he said, Kent.
Oh, I'll take
that. I thought you said, I'll take that.
No, I'll take Dak. Yeah, I'll take Dak.
Yeah, for sure. My number one, I guess, thing we should get out on this episode is everyone agrees, number one priority, sign Dak, right? Everyone's going to have that point. Like, that's the number one free agent target. Yeah, just Dak.
Well, yeah, and even for free agency to happen for the Dallas Cowboys, they need to figure this out because that is going to determine what kind of money they have to spend in free agency.
Right. Okay, let's say you can't work it out. Or let's hypothetically say you're Stephen Jones, you hear that last week. What's the conversation you have with Jerry?
Who?
John.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
If I'm talking to Jerry?
If you're like, hey, what do you think about Russell Wilson potentially being available? What do you think that conversation would go like? What do you think? Because I think Jerry, in his mind, would see Super Bowls.
Yeah, Jerry Jones, sure. And that's important to point out because it's much like the Dak thing. You know, if he doesn't get a long-term deal done with the Cowboys, I think there's going to be a lot of people that just assume that the entire Cowboys organization was like ready to move on from him. And it might be as simple as just Jerry Jones was like, this is the line and I'm not willing to cross it. And as long as he's the only one that said, I mean, Will McClay could be telling him, Steven, everybody could be telling him, Jerry, we have to just do this. This is the best thing. We have to do it. And if Jerry doesn't want to do it, then they don't do it. So it does really just come down to him. Mm-hmm. So I do think just having covered him over the last decade, that he would be very, very enamored with the Russell Wilson idea. I also think that obviously he would know better than us where things stand going into the draft with Dak. He'll have an understanding of where they're willing to go and where Dak's willing to go between the end of the draft and July 15th. So I would think that he would have his scouts looking hardcore at quarterbacks. And one of the reasons why I say that too is because I know a lot can change in 1 year, but like, this doesn't look like it's going to be a great quarterback draft a year from now. So if you're going to go draft a quarterback, you better do it this year and then get a, you know, let him at least have a year to, you know, where he doesn't really play. And then the next year, then he's your guy, as opposed to just hoping that there's another, you know, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson type situation next year that you can trade for, or Russell Wilson like that. You got to get your insurance right now by drafting one of these quarterbacks with your first round pick. I feel like you have to do it. And it'll just be so strange for them to do that because they haven't done it since Troy Aikman. I mean, they just don't take quarterbacks in the first round, but the way the league is structured now, like, you have to do that, especially, like I said, like next year's draft is just doesn't have these quarterbacks in it. Like, obviously there's going to be two or three quarterbacks that go in the top 10 because there is in almost every draft, at least there has been recently, but it's not to the level of this class. So before I even get to the Russell Wilson thing, I'm thinking about, like, if I don't think I can sign Dak because he's not willing to budge and we're not willing to budge, then I have to seriously consider what I'm doing at 10.
But do we think that Jerry, with his current timeline, do you think that he would be willing to start over?
That's a great question.
With a rookie quarterback.
That's a great question because he's already shown you, actions speak louder than words, that he's probably not. That's why he hired Mike McCarthy and didn't interview a single college coach, is because it is about right now. I'm just saying what, because Ken asked me what I would tell him. But what I think, if Kent's asking me what I think Jerry would do,
what do you think the conversation was honestly like between Steven and Jerry? Like, because you know that they closed the door and were like, and they had one out on.
Oh, they've had several.
Yeah,
they've been having them for the last 2 years.
It's very, very curious. Well, now that like Russell Wilson, I mean, it could be a thing now. You know,
I think that they probably would they would talk about it, but I think they would quickly come to the realization, as we just talked about, that that's
try to get that done, unrealistic. And then if that doesn't work, then you see where you're at, or if we don't think that's going to work long term.
I'm a little worried that he's seeing the way the quarterback market is right now, and he just thinks that there's going to be one of those, like I said, Stafford, Deshaun Watson things again next year, or you know, like we saw last year in free agency where Tom Brady becomes available, Phillip Rivers, and I can see Jerry being like, well, we'll just go get that guy and we'll get him on
after
Dak, deal,
after
like
Dak's on a 1 year tag. Right. That's what you're saying.
Right. Right. Gotcha. Right. Yes. Yes.
And that's terrible because this year's an anomaly.
That's terrible.
This year's not these guys being available. This doesn't happen every
plus
year.
Plus the draft
and,
class.
And quite frankly, outside of, okay, the Wentz trade's a little different because Wentz, we can still say Wentz wasn't like totally established yet, right? I mean, the Stafford trade, like seeing veteran quarterbacks or proven winners and all that stuff move around, that didn't happen a ton. I said proven winners, Matt Stafford's 8-8.
Jared Goff, though. Jared Goff. I mean,
all right, here, I'll give you a good example of someone. What if he goes after, like, a Matt Ryan next year?
Oh, no. God, no.
Why would you want a quarterback that's worse than Dak? That's why I don't understand.
Hold on. Because I'm not doing this.
I'm talking to Jerry.
You don't have to pay $40 million.
Right.
That's why.
I'm talking to Jerry.
But I'm telling you, I could see, like, guys like that be like, I mean, how many times have we had to hear about Mike McCarthy got the Packers to a Super Bowl? He'll peddle the same thing about Matt Ryan and how he got them to the Super Bowl. And then the fact that Dan Quinn's on the staff and stuff like that. I'm just saying, like, you can see Atlanta drafting a quarterback. You can see Atlanta drafting a quarterback this year, Matt Ryan finishing this year out. But I'm just saying, like, there's an example. I'm just trying to give you, I'm not saying he's going to be the guy. I'm just saying that's an example of something that I could see them looking at, like, well, we'll do that then.
This stupid league has so many dumb narratives. Like, I hate when just things start going. And if I've said this on this show before, I'm sorry. But, like, here's the one that kills me this time of year. Okay, just kills me when this comes up. Blank, blank percent of quarterbacks who make X amount have won a Super Bowl. 55 teams have won a Super Bowl ever. Okay, so we're already operating on small sample size, and we now live in a world where Tom Brady exists. Okay, so let's just rule out that stat. Here's the stat I need to know. What percent of quarterbacks make the playoffs while making X amount of the salary cap? All those guys make the playoffs. All these guys who are highly paid guys, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan before they, yeah, you know, whatever. Aaron Rodgers, all those guys at the top of the heap there, they generally make the playoffs. And how do you win Super Bowls, guys? By winning playoff games. Your issue is that. You don't consistently make the freaking playoffs. So it's not a Dak thing and about how much Dak's going to make. It is a you thing. In the mirror, it is a you thing. And they just will never deal with that because they got their own crap they're dealing with all the time. I've never seen an organization just get distracted by a bird flying over there more than this one. Oh, God, look at that owl. Well, no, we were talking about something and you saw an owl and you quit listening to what I was saying. Like, it's freaking Winnie the Pooh all the time in this organization.
Well, it's at the end of the day and the pie and got to all fit under the cap. And I mean, that's all it's all just lip service. I mean, and at the end of the day, what it really is just them being so stubborn and them being the businessmen that they are, wanting to feel like they won the deal. That's it. It's all ego at the end of the day. Because we don't even have to get into the Stephen Jones and Todd France stuff. Because we know they don't like each other. So it's just, it all sucks. And I mean, Todd France sucks. Todd France sucks too. But
he's pretty lucky that this is going on with the Cowboys. Because if it's, let's say, a more smaller market and the front office is somewhat like, I don't know, it's not like many front offices are beloved, but let's say like it's a well-run organization and this is their franchise quarterback, I think he'd be taking more heat. But it's just so much easier to just put the blame on the Joneses and the Cowboys because of past performance. And so, like, while there are people that, you know, they mention him and he gets mentioned and stuff like that, I think it could be a lot worse and like on different teams than it is right now. Because, I mean, if you took a poll, not just Cowboys fans, NFL fans, you know, if this thing doesn't work out, I feel like 95% is blaming it on Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And it's probably higher than that.
Yeah. Just, we'll talk more about this on our next episode because we will have the trade deadline of March 9th. We'll have passed. I mean, the trade deadline, the franchise tag deadline of March 9th will have passed. And it feels like we're probably going down that path, and then they'll have a few months in the summer or spring summer to get a long-term deal worked out because, you know, look, the story never ends, right? It's the true never-ending story. Is Dak flying on that big monster from the Neverending Story? If you guys remember that.
Oh, creepy, creepiest monster ever. So many nightmares as a child.
So, free agency. The tampering period begins March 15th through 17th. And then the NFL just loves celebrating St. Patrick's Day. So, they're going to be like, hey, it's official. But the stuff's going to start leaking out. Probably the weekend before the 15th, because that's just how this works. But the tampering period officially starts on the 15th. So we thought we would do a little exercise here in Cowboys free agency, knowing that they might have to be a little frugal. But everyone come to the table with three free agents you would like to see on them on the team, or three free agents that, you know, whether it's possible or not, or whether it's realistic or just three guys you would like to see. It's a pretty good exercise. Let's just talk about a few names. So, John, I want to start with you. Who is your – and you don't have to power rank them or anything, but who is free agent one for you that you'd like to just kind of throw out there?
Well, I think we have to go over this real quick. Like, are we talking about if they had unlimited money, or are we talking about realistic?
Well, I think we should go with realistic so that we could maybe wager something on this, pull this up, and so John can, you know – run away from another bet loss or something like that. By the way, John,
I'll do it. I looked up.
You a deadline. The deadline is the time we do our next schedule episode. So you have until then. It has to be done before we do the next schedule bet. That's the deadline.
Okay, that's fair.
So,
but okay. So if there was unlimited money, then I like the top guys are because, and I just want to say this real quick because these would instantly fill all the gaps here. Anthony Harris. So you cover safety there. Leonard Williams, you cover defensive tackle. Oh. And then, Yannick Ngakoue. And then so then your defense is straight. But no, since that, I was going to say Justin Simmons, but I saw he's getting tagged. But since that's not that way, are we going to go one each and just go around?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go around. We all kind of brought three, but yeah, I do think, try to be as realistic as possible.
Okay. I don't think that this guy is coming to the Cowboys, but I don't think it would be unrealistic. I think that they could be in the ballpark, and that would be Ndamukong Suh. I just think Ndamukong Suh would rather sign a one-year deal and stay with Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay is getting to a point where they're going to have to sign a lot of their guys, and they're going to be kind of strapped to try and keep that defense together as much as possible. So the thing about Ndamukong Suh is that while he's not J.J. Watt off the field, he cares about his brand a lot, and I could see him being intrigued by the Dallas Cowboys because of that, and then also the fact that, you know, he would get a lot of playing time, and he could be the guy that fixes their defense on a one-year deal. So I just don't see a lot of help immediately out of this draft defensive tackle. And so if you don't get much help out of defensive tackle in free agency, then I think you're just going into next year with basically guys like Antoine Woods, you know, Tristan Hill, and Neville Gallimore, which it's okay, but they need help there, and I just don't see this. There's just not that defensive tackle in this draft that can fill that gap. So they got to spend some kind of money on defensive tackle that I would think would have to be more of an improvement than just maybe going to get Gerald McCoy, which might be what they end up doing.
Yeah, I like the name, and that's something I would be all in on. And if we're talking about, like, you know, establishing, I mean, he's 34, right? So, like, I don't know if establishing value is important to him. He might just be clinging on to one-year deals throughout his career. Might be how he rolls.
Right.
But, dude, come on. That over, you know, Antoine Woods, like, no offense to anyone, you know, like, guys like that in the mix, and that over Tristan Hill immediately.
No, I'm fine with all of those guys, too. It just, they would all get knocked down a rung, and that makes you better because you don't have to play that key role of where you're starting Neville Gallimore 16 games, where Neville Gallimore can be like your third defensive tackle, and it'll probably help him play better.
And how long have we been trying to get Ndamukong Suh to the Cowboys now? he's been signing these 1 or 2 year deals forever at this point.
Yeah.
He was actually my number four on my list. I put him there because they had the opportunity to go grab him last year. He was just sitting out there and they didn't. So makes me think they just don't like Ndamukong Suh. But maybe this past year with the Bucks swayed them a little bit, makes them think they have something left in the tank. I don't know.
Let me say this. Rod Marinelli was never a guy that was going to go to bat for signing some big time defensive lineman because he really enjoyed coaching the guys up. That's why his defensive tackles have been pretty much all bargains. If you go all the way back to like Nick Hayden and those guys, Terrell McClain's, like, I mean, he gets bargains. You know, even David Irving was a bargain for them. So he was never going to do it. And so then you get Mike Nolan in here, and Mike Nolan might have looked at Suh as like that just not a fit for what he wanted to do. Whereas like, and Ndamukong Suh is absolutely a fit for what Dan Quinn wants to do.
Hey, Kent, who is your number one guy?
My number one guy isn't really on a team right now, guys. And
Johnny Manziel?
No. Oh, God, I wish. I wish. If only. Yeah, he's tearing up the Fan Football League, guys. I don't know if you've seen. But no, it's... I just have an itch. I just think Earl Thomas ends up on this team somehow, some way this offseason. The Dan Quinn thing, I think they need safety help. He's always wanted to be a Cowboy. Jerry likes a redemption story. Earl Thomas needs redemption in a lot of ways. I think it happens. So that's my number one player. I think just if we're betting, for putting that out there, I think Earl Thomas ends up on this team, or at least ends up in camp. So we'll see.
It's still fun, but I don't think it can happen.
Legally?
I think legally he's fine, probably.
You think?
You get the feeling that no one likes the guy. Yeah, I don't know anything. It's interesting, though. It's interesting.
Oh, he fits exactly what KT said when he was talking about the birds flying by. Uh-huh. Earl Thomas is absolutely what KT's talking about when he says that.
Look, a hawk.
Everybody shut the door on that, but Jerry's the only one that didn't want to shut the door on that when that was happening.
I have an itch.
He loves to keep that open. But.
And it's still always going to be a story.
I think it was closer to happening than people realize still to this day. I still think close conversations were had.
Are you talking about on draft day, or are you talking about even after draft day?
I think throughout for the last few years.
Throughout, yeah.
Yeah.
Dalton, number one guy for you.
Yeah, so my number one realistic guy, I guess, would be Puna Ford. Try to wrestle him away from Seattle somehow. Now, the more realistic one would actually be, last year's Rod Marinelli special, Jonathan Hankins from the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm just trying to get a dude who's bigger than 305 pounds in here to play one technique for the Cowboys. But Puna Ford, a guy I like coming out of the draft, he's played really, really well for Seattle. I think that he might be on the expensive side. And when you talk about expensive and defensive tackle, probably not going to be a Cowboys target, but it's realistic from a number standpoint. And I think that getting a one tech is, outside of getting a true free safety, the most important thing the Cowboys can do defensively.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot. And we've been begging them to invest in that position. And they have shown that they don't like to do that. But Puna Ford, that's a good player.
How did that guy go undrafted?
Unbelievable. Because he's short. He's 5'11". Short arms. That's why, I guess.
Couldn't the Cowboys have taken a flyer on him instead of, let's say, like, Bo Scarborough in the seventh,
Oh, my God, Bo Scarborough. God, I forgot about him. That's incredible.
Still in the Lions, I think. I think he's still...
Mike White,
Oh, gosh. That's a bad one.
I kind of like Mike White's college date, by the way. Here's my number one guy. It's a name you guys have all known because he was drafted in the first round. It is a free safety. I am generally staunchly against Achilles guys, but Malik Hooker of the Colts is available. The Colts declined their fifth-year option on him. And again, like I said, normally I don't have much interest in guys coming off of the Achilles injury. But so the Achilles injury happens. That's a terrible injury. His rookie year, he missed time because he tore his ACL. But his second and third year, he was there. Like, he missed, I think, two games his second year and missed three games his third year. That's a very good free safety. That is a very good player who I don't think would cost you more than $3 million. Mm. I know that the Cowboys had a high grade on him, as every NFL team did, 5 years ago in that draft. But if you want a free safety and you want a guy who has really high-end upside, and before an Achilles, I would say unlimited upside before your Achilles just, takes some of your explosion away and things like that. I love the name. I know that they liked him. I think we all know they probably never would have been serious about drafting a guy like him because they just don't ever appear interested in safeties, especially early in the draft. But, man, Malik Hooker at $2.5 or $3 million, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, right? And he's not there for you, but I kind of like the idea of saying, are we trying to get an impact player? Because if he's healthy, he is that. He is definitely that. So I always like to hear too, with all, like, some guys are injury prone, right? But I also say you're also playing football. So I get the idea of wanting to be like as smart as you can about money and hopefully get some, but man, it's a home run swing if you can get him, and I think you can get him for under $4 million.
And I don't think the Cowboys are afraid of a reclamation project either. I mean, we've seen it in the past with other instances, and I think that, Malik Hooker, because of that upside and because I think Dan Quinn is going to covet that free safety position, I actually kind of do think that might be a realistic option as long as the Achilles is good enough to where they believe he'll be able to actually contribute in 2021.
So Malik Hooker was my number two. You're good. So I'm just going to talk about safety real quick here. So Malik Hooker, like if you ranked all the safeties in this free agency class, I feel like at the top, you have like your Justin Simmons, who, like I said, he's going to be franchise tag, but like Anthony Harris, from the Minnesota, Marcus Williams from the Saints, Marcus May from the Jets, that John Johnson, the third from the Rams. I think those guys are probably all out of their range. Just going off Cowboys history of not wanting to spend money. So I feel like if they do it in free agency, I think it comes down to Malik Hooker or Keanu Neal, and Neal only because he was with Dan Quinn. I don't think he's really the answer at safety. But it just, you go off these last two off seasons where it's haha Clinton Dix and George Ioka. It's if you're gonna do that, don't even spend on a safety. Like if it can't be something better than that, then just go to the draft, you know? So Richard Sherman was a guy I was gonna mention. I don't really love Richard Sherman, but it makes some sense if he's willing to come on a somewhat team-friendly deal just because, again, it gets him with Dan Quinn. It gives you a veteran corner. I don't think he's got much time left, but on a one-year affordable deal, it could make some sense. But on both of those guys, I will say this, and you could even throw Patrick Peterson in there in the mix with any of the DBs. I just feel like where you're drafting, if you're the Cowboys, as long as you get Dak Prescott's contract done, this draft should be all about the defense, and you should be able to get starting caliber players at both of those positions in this draft that start immediately, like Trayvon Diggs did, started immediately. Like, you don't need to get a guy that, like, well, you know, we're going to draft this corner at 10 and this safety at, you know, in the second round, and we're going to wait and maybe in two or three. No, they start tomorrow. Like, they're your starters. So, you know, those are just some names to mention. But if I had to pick a player, though, that I would say would be next, I was going to say Denzel Perryman, the linebacker, just another guy has dealt with injuries. If you've listened to this show, you know how I feel about Jalen Smith. You know how we've felt about Leighton Vander Esch and his injuries. They need help at linebacker. They need a guy that can come in and be a potential starter. And Perryman is a guy that I just saw today. It sounds like he's not going to re-sign with the Chargers, probably just try and see if he can get better money. I don't know if they'll come from the Cowboys, but he's one of those linebackers that's not one of the top ones in this class. But if he could be affordable, that would make some sense.
And real quick before we go on, Kent, to your second guy, John, isn't the Jalen Smith guaranteed money deadline like March 23rd? Like, isn't that like it comes into play? Like, don't they have kind of have a decision if they were going to cut him?
I believe that that's correct. You know, they have to make him a post June 1 cut, though. That's how that they would save the most money under the cap. And so I don't know. I mean, from what we see, you're just kind of like, eat it, do it. You got to move on. Like, this doesn't make sense to keep doing this. But it doesn't sound like that's the way they think right now. And so, you know what? And you know what? Hey, it could all have been one of those things where they might have felt that way on January 5th. But then Dan Quinn comes in and is like, no. I can work with this guy. Let me move him back into the middle. Let me move some stuff around, and I'll try and make this thing work, you know? And they would be like, okay, you know, this is your defense. You know, if you think you can do it with him, then we'll keep him, you know? So that's the thing. We haven't got a chance to even talk to Dan Quinn since he's become their defensive coordinator. I mean, it's been complete silence from the Cowboys. We haven't talked to Jerry Jones in over 200 days. So we don't really haven't heard a lot about what they're doing. But if Dan Quinn really wanted to keep Jalen Smith, then Jalen Smith's not going anywhere.
Well, we'll see.
All right, Kent.
Maybe he watched the tape. Maybe he just watched the tape and he'll want to keep him, you know?
Yeah.
Just watch the tape. All right. Well, I've got two more here. I'm with you, John, on the defensive line depth of this draft. It's not great. It's not going to be somewhere where I think the Cowboys should make a ton of investment in the draft. So free agency it is. And I don't want to break the bank here either. So I'm looking at a guy who can maybe get, I don't know, if he makes a little more than last year, $5 million, $4 or $5 million. It's Jonathan Hankins from the Raiders. Guy, bunch of tackles, play 16 games for you, has some sacks in his career, 15 total in his career, so veteran guy. You need help somehow, some way. You need leadership too, somehow, some way, you know, to quote Jason Garrett. So that's a guy I'm looking at, you know, maybe a veteran guy who's got experience, who can play for you and is not going to be hurt all the time because they need reliability. So that's my guy, Jonathan Hankins.
Yeah, and I think he played like 70%+ of the snaps for them this past year. So
yeah,
he played a lot.
665 total snaps for Hankins in 2020. So that intrigues me.
Isn't it kind of funny when any name you kind of throw out that's a defensive player, you go, you know, that guy might be an upgrade. Like pretty much at almost every position, like every name you throw out. And we're in the bargain bin right now too, and we're like, yeah, it couldn't hurt. I mean, hell, might as well add that guy.
Okay, so let's just run him off real quick. Who wouldn't be it? Who could you realistically, with what they can afford, not be an upgrade on defense? I got DeMarcus Lawrence, Trayvon Diggs. I'm done.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, who else would not be, could you not, you know, theoretically upgrade on with on their budget, you know?
Oh.
That's it.
Leighton, if he's healthy.
A healthy LVE, yeah.
Okay, yeah, if he's healthy, sure.
Maybe Randy Gregory?
Maybe. Like
where? Hey, where are you guys at on Alden Smith? Do you guys really want Alden Smith back? Because I'm kind of good.
No, I'm good.
Have you do you guys remember a game last year? And I taking Kent's line, I probably should go back and watch the tape. But like, do you remember a game last year? I just want one where you felt like DeMarcus Lawrence and Alden Smith both played well in the same game.
No,
because Tank didn't really get it going for a couple of weeks and. Alden Smith was good for the first, 3 weeks, and then he disappeared.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And he did, honestly, he did kind of what you expect.
I think he's just going to get, somebody's going to see what Alden Smith did last year and just pay him, and that's going to be it. I mean, that's simple as that, so.
Okay, Dalton, who's your...
me, right?
Yeah, you got another guy there?
The safety market really, really intrigues me because we've seen over the past couple of years, I mean, these guys just aren't getting paid. It'll be interesting because I think that this safety class in free agency is unbelievably good. I would kill for a guy like John Johnson, but I do think that he will be out of the price range. I'm going to switch over here and I'm going to go to corner. A little bit of another reclamation project. He didn't play very much for Seattle last year, but he was really, really good in the cover three scheme in Washington the year before. That would be one Quentin Dunbar. I don't think he'll be expensive. I don't think if you draft a guy at 10, he doesn't have to start. He's just good to have for a depth guy on the outside, especially because the Cowboys last year really struggled once their starters went down on the outside. They obviously struggled because of the defensive scheme switch and not having a training camp and all that. But I do think getting a guy like Quentin Dunbar, it's going to be low risk, high reward if he plays anything close to what he did in Washington. As long as the legal stuff is all good with him from, last summer, I think that that's a name that the Cowboys should look at.
If you factor in, salary, everything, would you rather have him, Jordan Lewis, or Cheeto?
I'd rather have Cheeto. After everything factored
you have to
in. Quentin Dunbar, because I think Cheeto, a guy he started for 4 years at corner, and he wasn't a total disaster at any of those points.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to make, $8 million. I don't know what Dunbar is going to be at, but after really not playing last year, I don't think he's going to be nearly that expensive.
Yeah, no, that's a good name. There's tons of corners.
Yeah.
Tons of names. I was gonna move on to the defensive lineman, but while we're on the topic, a guy I'm kind of throwing out there, and I'm all about, if Jordan Lewis will come back for cheap, I'm all in on that. But, we all know you're signing Jordan Lewis. You're not signing Jordan Lewis to immediately be a top three cornerback for you and have a lot of playing time. It's open competition. It's just the situation you have with your defensive backs right now. There's a guy, because they're in such dire straits at cornerback and safety, this is where I've thrown up P.J. Williams of the New Orleans Saints, who just kind of got weeded out because – quite frankly, New Orleans has quite a few good defensive backs, and he didn't get to play much. But he's played snaps both outside corner, slot corner, free safety, and strong safety for the Saints. So doesn't have an injury history or anything, but he was playing, less than half the snaps up in New Orleans. But, there's a guy, gives you kind of, even in free agency, if you snagged him up early, he's not going to cost much. And then he can kind of just help you kind of figure out what you need to do. You don't even have to sign him as something. Now, maybe you've identified he's a slot corner and is just good man coverage, and that's what he is. I mean, that's really all he is. He's not a very good zone player. But, he's a good man coverage guy, and you say, okay, I've signed him, and I want him to play slot, and I know he can play outside. $2 million? $3 million? It's not going to be much. So, P.J. Williams, another name I kind of like there. So, just another corner. And then I'll save my defensive line for my third go-around. So, John. See, bargain bin shopping sucks. John, you're up.
I feel like I named 12 guys in the last time I went, so I'm going to go way down the list here. This wouldn't be my number three guy. I'm just going to go real bargain bin here. I wouldn't mind them kicking the tires on Tack McKinley. Obviously have to pay, he has to pass a physical, which he hasn't been able to do. But if he was able to pass a physical, obviously the Cowboys liked him a lot. They liked him more than Taco back during that draft. And then obviously he was with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn and the Falcons liked him a lot. If they felt like they could get anything out of him, and I don't think he would cost anything, I would throw his name out there. What else? There was one other guy I was going to mention to you guys. God, who was it? What do you guys think about if they did move on, if they did have plans for moving on from Jalen? What about if they went after KJ Wright?
I was about to mention him. He wasn't going to be my guy. He was in the group of guys that my guy is in. So yeah,
he'll probably go back to Seattle, but who knows?
Yeah, and I added KJ Wright, and almost, you know, I guess we could put Richard Sherman in that boat too, and also Bruce Irvin, or like guys who are like, okay, got the Dan Quinn connection to some point, like file that away and just kind of keep it in your head, you know, like I would, and I'm totally okay with that. And KJ Wright can still play a little bit, so way more than I think Bruce Irvin can. But I see, like, Bruce Irvin could take that Alden Smith role though. But there's your. I mean, that I think it's a good name, man. I think it's a really good name. Who we got here, Kent?
Yeah, I just want to clarify, Bo Scarborough, not in the league anymore. He was last with the Seahawks in 2020, but he's currently a free agent. So before I get ripped on Twitter for that. I'm looking at defense still. Linebacker, certainly. We need help there. We need help at the pass rush. We need help kind of in the secondary as well. So I'm looking at linebacker here. This is a guy I've always liked throughout his career. I followed his career. I remember seeing him at the Senior Bowl. Stuck out to me there. Small school guy. He's had a really nice NFL career since 2016 when he was drafted by the Packers and played for New York last year. It's Kyler Fackrell. Love this player. And, real leadership kind of guy, kind of a Sean Lee kind of a guy, but played 16 games for the past 3 years, 12 last year, over 600 snaps, though, 4 sacks last year. And it's just a nice player that you can get for, I think, a pretty affordable price tag, and adds a lot of depth and some, I don't know, some insurance at a little bit of different spots on your defense, whether it's run tackling or maybe forcing a fumble or interception every now and then. So I like Kyler Fackrell.
Yeah, he had a 10 sack season a few years ago, and yeah, they were 3-4. Yeah, he was kind of a 3-4 guy, but he was playing 4-3 standard outside linebacker, playing the will for New York, but just obviously. There's just more and more linebackers aren't getting a lot of snaps when you have two on the field most of the time, or sometimes one on the field.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened to him there. But he got a pretty good little paycheck to go to New York. I think he's a guy you would ask to play right defensive end here. I don't think you would ask him to play linebacker. I think he's better if you would say rush the passer.
Sure.
But as we know from years past, the Cowboys don't like those guys that don't have a history of putting their hand on the ground. So, whatever that means.
We'll see.
Dalton.
Yeah, so going back to that safety position I keep going to and talking about, it's if you want to take a swing at another guy that is off injured, Jaquiski Tartt from San Francisco. He's a guy who plays a little bit in the box, plays a little bit at free safety as well. A name that I would probably, hopefully bring in as, a depth piece or somebody who can play as, your safety three role. Could come down, he could play in the slot a little bit as well if you want to stay in, base personnel or big nickel instead of going with your nickel package. I would love for them to go safety at 44. I just think that they're not going to. I look at the history of the Dallas Cowboys in drafting, and I think that a guy like Jaquiski Tartt is the type of name that they're going to bring in to try to compete for the starting free safety role.
How would you feel if they bring back Xavier Woods?
Fine with it. 100% fine with it. I mean, he's hopefully not your long-term answer at free safety, but I think that's a fine opportunity.
There's just a part of me that wonders if, if the cap doesn't move much more than what it's expected to right now, out of Jordan Lewis, Xavier Woods, and Cheeto, I could just see one of them guys coming back on a one-year deal because the market didn't give them what they thought. And they were like, hey, I know that the defense is going back to what they drafted me for. I'll do this for another year, get the exposure. You know, it's not like that those position groups are loaded on that team. I'll at least get to play, and then I'll get back into free agency next year when the cap moves back to what it's supposed to, what it normally does. I'm not saying that I expect that to happen. I just wouldn't completely rule that out. Because like we know, and we've been talking about, they're going to be bargain bin shopping.
Yeah, I would call Jordan Lewis whenever, you know, you're allowed to talk to him and say, hey, what do you feel about moving to free safety? He's better playing with the ball in front of him anyways. He's better in zone coverage. He's not really hearing the guy who's going to mirror and match wide receivers from the slot very well. He's an aggressive player. I would see, be like, hey, like, listen, you can go out, test the market, see what you can get when you don't get paid, because nobody's going to get paid this offseason. We want you back. Learn how to play free safety.
I love it. I really wish that conversation had happened earlier, though, you know?
Yep.
But, you know, we have issues. You know, I'm going to kind of empty the chamber here, and I know you guys all have extra guys, but defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins. He was a first-round pick of
the Oregon State
a few years ago.
Between him and Hankins for me. It was Hankins or Rankins, yeah. And I went with Hankins.
Hankins. Well, we got them both here, so now there we go. Let's get both of them.
Let's get Hankins and Rankins.
You know, look, I'm not going to give you much as a pass rusher, but at least probably not anymore. Again, an Achilles guy. But unlike the Achilles guy that I mentioned earlier and Malik Hooker, you know, that happened in 2019. So he got a year back, maybe 2 years removed from an Achilles. You might feel a little bit better about that. You know, this guy went in the first round again. Again, he is going to be cheap. So that's the name. And also, while we're on the defensive line, so we're talking about all these names. When you threw out Tack McKinley, I feel like he's always going to be associated with the Cowboys just because we know there was relative interest, and he's at least always going to be associated with Dan Quinn. How about Benson Mayoa? Benson Mayoa had 6 sacks for Seattle last year. You're going to bring him back in here? You know what he is.
Bring Christian Covington back.
Jack Crawford.
Who's better than that? Malik Collins. Malik Collins did not have a good year for the Raiders last year. He took $6 million to go play for the Raiders. Didn't have a good year, but man, I feel like I think he's better than what I have at that position right now. And I don't know if I want Malik Collins stunning the growth of Neville Gallimore. I don't know if I want that, but you know, if I've got Malik Collins in here now, I kind of want Malik Collins to play the one. And to, you know, be more just a run-stopping guy. And maybe I can do better at that position with him, you know, because I mean, he's probably more fit to be a three, but he did not have a good year for the Raiders. While I'm at it, Desmond King's another guy too, that is not, he doesn't run very well, but I still have always liked Desmond King's instincts in the secondary at safety. He ended up in Tennessee after getting traded from the Chargers, kind of out there and going to be cheap. And I can't help but still think he's got something left. He's always got a knack for being around the ball. So just
speaking
a bunch of names.
Speaking of Kings, what do you think about Kevin?
Kevin King is fine, but he's going to command.
What do you think he's going to make?
You know, before the salary cap stuff, I thought he would command 8 to 10 or 9
to
11.
So right in the Cheeto range? Because so I think that's what Cheeto's going to.
Yeah, and now that's 5 to 8. And Kevin King is a much better player than Cheeto. But Kevin King is hardly ever available. Like, he is hurt a lot. And we know the Cowboys had interest in him. You know, it is funny. Still Will McClay, you know, drafting players, right? So, like, we do know, like, you can track all these guys who they had interest in over the last 5 years. And it's kind of fun to go, okay, did they like Sheldon Rankins? Did they like Kevin King? Did they like, you know, all these guys? It's very interesting. I think that that's one thing we do know about the NFL is guys like who they like, and they tend to, like, keep those guys in their mind forever. So,
oh, yeah, that back end of that first round, 2017, are all like the guys we just talked about. Tack McKinley, you know, that's the year that they took Taco. It's Tack McKinley. Kevin King went with the first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
Obviously, TJ Watt is the one they should have drafted. But, like, you know, Tre'Davious White, the corner that went to the Bills right before the Cowboys picked. Those were all the names that were right in that grouping there when they took Taco.
You know, another name I want to say he was a 30 visit, but I don't know for sure. He's a linebacker who's with Washington. I like as a Will, as a Kevin Pierre-Louis of Washington. He's going to be free. He's going to run and hit athletic guy. I don't know. He's a special teams guy too. He will cost you nothing. And I like guys like that as well. So that's a bunch of names we threw out there, guys. Gerald McCoy is one that probably didn't come up. Maybe he's back. I know that's been thrown out there a little bit.
While we're emptying the chamber here, you think Andy Dalton's back with the Cowboys?
I personally don't. I think that he's going to get a better opportunity somewhere else. You know, you just got to remember last year at this time, he was still with the Bengals. He never got to really get to real free agency. The Bengals kept him until they drafted Joe Burrow and then, you know, released him a couple days later. So he didn't really get a chance to really be out there. And while obviously he didn't play as well as Dak would have as a starter, I think he did enough in those games for some team that has like a young quarterback that's like, hey, let's bring this guy in. Maybe he starts early on, and if he can hang on to the job, he hangs on to the job. The only thing that I will say is that if Dak, it looks like he's going to play under the franchise tag. Obviously, Andy liked living here and playing in Dallas and stuff like that. I mean, that could factor in with him that if it's close with the Cowboys and somebody else, he might be like, sign me up for this one more year, you know? But yeah. Quarterback is just so tough. I just feel like that there's going to be some team that comes out of there that you're just like, well, that's a good opportunity for him because, you know, the guy in front of him or the guy they just drafted, he's probably better than them right now. So why wouldn't you take that opportunity? Because he really does believe he's still a starter in this league. So, yeah, he's not probably a top 20 starter, but he can probably start for back end, you know, 5 or 10 teams there. So I think he'll have a better offer somewhere else.
We still don't know who the quarterback is in New England. We don't know who the quarterback is in Chicago. It won't be Trubisky again. I feel like Trubisky will end up somewhere else. I feel like Garoppolo will be gone from San Francisco at some point. I guess Garoppolo in New England might actually make a lot of sense. Now Cam Newton might have
Marcus
a place,
Mariota. You know? Marcus Mariota could go somewhere too.
Yeah, like all these guys. So like Dalton might have an opportunity to go start.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. So in that case, without Dalton, I want Colt McCoy. That was my next guy on the list. I think Colt, slightly cheaper than Andy, experienced guy, kind of a career backup at this point. But, Jerry probably remembers when he led the Redskins to a victory at AT&T Stadium over the Cowboys. So be a nice little insurance policy type player.
Man, Colt McCoy and Dominican Sue both in the same offseason. What a home run for the Cowboys.
Well, like, hey, the criteria for that is like veteran guy who doesn't completely suck, who also doesn't prohibit me from adding a tier 4 defensive tackle or cornerback. Like, that's the qualifications of backup quarterback. And you know what? That's a way better plan than Cooper Rush. It's just a way better plan. So,
well, especially after what they went through last year, and here's the other thing. Like, Mike McCarthy just seems like he's more into the idea of having a proven veteran backup than Jason Garrett ever was. So I think that both those things factor in. I would be surprised if they went into next season, let's say, with like Garrett Gilbert as their backup. I think that they'll have a veteran, and Colt McCoy makes a lot of sense.
The only other name that popped out to me, Tyrod Taylor, a little bit. He might want more money. I don't think anybody's going to give him an opportunity to start somewhere though. So that one stuck out to me. And, believe it or not, like in terms of, you know, how Spotrac breaks down the quarterbacks, like AJ McCarron is like way higher than Andy Dalton and Colt McCoy. And I think that's ridiculous because I would rather have McCoy than AJ McCarron.
Do you guys think Tyrod Taylor's skeptical of getting the COVID vaccine after what happened to him?
Well, I don't think they inject the COVID vaccine into your lung.
I think it's a smaller needle.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't do it into your lung?
I don't think so. I haven't got it yet, so I don't know.
Oh, in your face. I got it. It's in the left arm.
It is. Right there. Well, you can pick the left or the right arm, Kevin. They asked me.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I just took it in the left.
Guys, me too. Where are we getting these at? They're not hooking me up out here in Collin County. Where do I got to go?
Oh, bro, you got to sign up in Dallas.
I thought you have to live in the county.
Uh-oh.
I don't live in Dallas County.
No comment from KT. His audio broke up. I don't know what happened there.
Sorry, I'm back.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
No, sign up in Dallas County. They got the Fair Park vaccine hub going because they got FEMA there. I talked to my guy Chuck from New Jersey in the line there. I was in and out in 30 minutes, by the way. It was very easy.
Who were you talking to in line? You were just standing in line?
Well, so after I thought you
had to be in your car.
You do, but after you get the shot, you know, you have to wait for 15 minutes.
You have to wait 15 minutes.
In case you have an allergic reaction. No. So the guys, they have guys from FEMA, and they're walking, you know, up and down the line just telling you, hey, if you have anything, honk your horn or whatever. But I started talking to the guy, and I was like, man, that was a very smooth transition. Like, I was in and out of here. He goes, yeah, we've got it together now that we're here. And he has FEMA jacket on. I said, how many hours a week are you working, Chuck? And he goes, man, we're working about 60 to 72-hour weeks. I'm from New Jersey. He goes, hopefully everyone will sign up, and we'll get you guys in and out of here, and I can go back home. I said, yeah, all right.
But wait, and he goes, but since I've been here, I've really been enjoying you on the Eagle, KT. Have a good day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. Chuck's like, I like fart jokes. It didn't hurt either. The needle didn't hurt, at least for me.
Not at all, no. I was sore the next day. I was a little bit sore the day after as well. But the actual injection, I didn't feel at all.
Did you get Pfizer or Moderna?
Pfizer.
Did you get the pick?
Pfizer too.
No, I didn't get the pick.
No, that's the one thing they
there's
know.
There's a line you're getting you the go
Pfizer.
Down.
Yeah, they're like, you're getting the Pfizer. I was like, okay, I guess.
I was about to say something, but I didn't want that audio to exist. So,
bet you got a 4-hour boner after you got the shot.
No. I was going to say, if I wasn't afraid of the audio existing, is I wanted the Johnson. And Johnson won, but because it's one shot. But I didn't want that audio to exist.
Well, by the time John gets his in Collin County, he'll get the Johnson & Johnson. Maybe they've made enough, and he can just get the one shot.
Man,
dude, you got to sign up in Dallas County. They got the Fair Park Vaccine Hub. It's badass.
I'm doing it right now.
We all stay Corona free. God bless.
Yes, sir.
We love all.
Okay, so we're gonna be back next week, right, Kent?
We will be back next week. Little DAC update, free agency movement around the league, Cowboys, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, we'll be back same time, same place around next week. Maybe a little later, maybe like Tuesday or something. So we'll let some stuff happen. Maybe we'll, might do multiple episodes. I don't know, but we'll be back for sure.
Well, it was good to be back. Thank you to our special guest this week, Dalton Miller. Follow him on Twitter at Dalton B. Miller. Very good draft mind this time of year as well. You can follow his work over at the Pro Football Network as well. So make sure you check him out. Good man. He's a good man. For Father John Machota and for our producer, Kit Garrison, we're going to get John vaccinated sometime. We will see you next time on the next edition of About Them Cowboys. I love you.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.